Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm guest bailiff, your favorite, Jean Grey, filling in for our friend Jesse Thorne. We are in chambers this week to clear the docket.
Jean Grey.
Hi.
My favorite Jean Grey.
Oh, man, mine too.
I'm so glad you're here.
Me too.
My name is John Hodgman. We've met before.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. You've been the guest bailiff on this program before.
90 times.
And we have a lot of fun together. Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, we're both miserable. It's New York City.
It's hot. I'm miserable outside, but like this is a great break during the day.
I've been in Maine all summer, except for when I came back to enjoy a certain party that you threw.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about that.
I don't know. I don't know if I can talk about it or not.
I just said don't put a picture.
Jean Grey got married, you guys.
Yay!
She is still married.
I'm still married.
She got married on August the 3rd or the 4th?
The 5th.
The 5th.
The 5th.
I should remember that because I was there.
You should remember it because you officiated the wedding.
I officiated the wedding.
Yeah.
Now, look, Jean, as I am a fake internet judge, a lot of people think it would be hilarious for me to officiate their wedding.
Right.
And as I mentioned on the day of your wedding, because it was mostly about me.
It was.
I mean, in my sermon.
I mean, it was 2 hours of just of origin stories.
Yeah. Anyway, Brookline, Massachusetts, 1979. Oh, I'm waiting for Empire Strikes Back to come out. Yeah. I'm playing with my 2XL. Mm. No, but people will say, Judge John Hodgman, would you officiate our wedding? Because we think it would be hilarious if you would do it. And I always say, your wedding is not a joke.
It's not a joke.
And I don't want that responsibility. It's a real thing to marry a person.
Yeah.
Or two people, even.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, everyone.
Three, four.
If you're going to get married to yourself, I'll officiate that. If
there's anyone out there. People are doing that.
I'm sure they are.
It's a very big deal, especially for women who are like, I'm just going to hold my own ceremony and marry myself. And I'm like, that's awesome. I would actually still do that.
Women out there who want to marry yourselves as a symbol of your self-empowerment. Mm-hmm. If you need a straight white dude to say it's okay and come and officiate, I'll do it.
How can you do double officiant?
What's that?
Can you do like
two officiants to marry one?
Because I would do it.
Oh, yeah.
Like Jean and I, we will marry you.
We'll marry only if you're getting married to yourself.
Right.
And gender is not, it's a construct, so it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a woman. You don't have to be a man. You don't have to be a non-binary, whatever you are. If you just, you have to be a person.
You got to be, okay, yeah. All right, that's fair. That's fair. Let's narrow it down.
A human being.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll come and do it because that's cool. Mm-hmm. $35,000. That's all I have to say about
each.
That. Yeah, right. Obviously. Yeah. We're two people. Sorry, single person.
An hour.
Yeah. We're each different people. So,
Sorry.
But I never wanted the responsibility of marrying someone because A, it's heavy responsibility.
It is.
And B, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
When everyone else gets to just hang around and eat hors d'oeuvres and chit chat and whatever.
Yeah.
But I could not say no to Eugene. And I'm so glad I didn't. It was a wonderful, wonderful ceremony.
It was amazing. It was also so hot.
Right.
We thought it was going to rain.
Right.
And it ended up being the exact opposite of rain. It was like we had the sun imported to sit on everyone's shoulders.
It was. Yeah. And it was weird that you got all those heat lamps and had people hold them. Over, especially the older people in the audience.
It was a bit much.
Yeah.
It was only the elderly under the heat lamps. But you did such an amazing job.
Oh, that's very nice.
People cried so hard.
I thought they were sweating from their eyes.
It was that, too.
It was hard.
I didn't know whether it was tears or sweat at a certain point.
And we were like, well, this is as bad as the summer is going to get.
Yeah. We were wrong.
And we were wrong.
It's still hot.
I'm back from Maine here in New York where you live. Mm-hmm. We're here together at Argo Studios face to face. And it's nice and cool in here, but it's bad and hot outside. And so it's just like, this is one of those days where, you know, Jesse Thorne is away. He's at Podcast Upfronts.
Yeah.
So, you know, my boss is gone. So this is, we're going to clear a docket. And we're just going to have it's going to be a classic friend around. We're having class outside, as it were, but we're having it inside where it's cool.
I'm not going to fudge around.
No, no fudging. So... With that said,
yes,
Jean, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
It's hot.
It's hot. Don't like it. I don't like it at all.
It's New York pee hot.
Meaning what?
Like my thing is that I say when you walk outside, it feels like a mouth.
Yeah.
Like you're walking into a mouth. But New York summer is like, it's not like nice summertime. It's just like hot smells everywhere.
I stepped outside with my son today in Brooklyn, New York. And he said, I don't like this at all because I don't know where... I don't know where my body ends and the heat. Like, And I'm like, yeah,
that's such a good description.
You feel totally permeated by this awful heat. You feel, it's like you're walking in. I was like, you say a hot mouth. I was like, I feel like I'm walking through a mist of flesh.
Ooh.
It's gross.
Welcome to the new podcast. It's based on the movie Heat, but all we do is talk about how hot it is for an hour and a half.
We could probably host an incredible 2-hour long meteorological podcast.
Oh, let's discuss that.
Right, we can discuss that later, though. But I'm going to put down a list of other podcasts.
The weather.
Podcast cash grabs. Gene and John read the weather. But instead, we don't have 2 hours. We have, I was just informed by super producer Jennifer Marmer that this podcast usually lasts about 50 to 55 minutes.
We gotta move it along.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't listen to it.
You don't even know.
Normally when we record it, each podcast, the recording takes 2 days. It's a really, the litigants have to be there for, I'm pulling
is
back
it
the
like
curtain.
A slumber party?
Uh-oh. It's more like a sleep deprivation torture test.
Oh, that's nice. Do you do Airbnb?
That's how we get so deep, you know what I mean?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. So we'll be in studio with the litigants normally. The studio, of course, is stainless steel, and we're all nude. And we'll be talking and getting to the bottom of it for like 19 hours.
What's the temperature in there?
Because it varies dramatically.
I feel like that changes the nude and the stainless steel.
It goes between 50 and 109.
Yeah,
and
both
a slow
of those are
oscillation.
Terrible. How big is the room?
It's not a room. It's more of a low hutch. It's more of a low hutch in a decommissioned military cargo plane that is constantly circling the Earth.
Is there any point where it spins like a centrifuge and the floor drops
out?
Yeah.
No, it's definitely like how they filmed Apollo 13.
It
becomes a vomit comet pretty quick.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we do a lot of anti-gravity stuff.
Well, I'm glad we're here today instead.
Yeah, no, this is a nice treat, honestly, because normally it's a 19 to 24-hour process. In the first 8 to 10 hours, we tell them we're recording, but we're not. And then we're ready to get into it.
Yeah.
But this is just for us. And then we edit it down, apparently, to 50 to 55 minutes. And
that's a big job.
But today, it's just you and me, and we can easily fill up 2 hours just talking about this. But why don't we get into the justice portion of this justice podcast?
Should I just jump right into it?
That's absolutely what you should do.
Okay.
Believe me, when you jump here, you will hit the ground because this is not
unlike the centrifuge.
This is not an anti-gravity simulation.
All right.
Who comes first before me seeking justice? Jean Grey.
Well, here's something from Jane. An acquaintance recently invited me to a party. In an effort to be helpful, a few people reached out and asked if they could bring something. The host said that they will not be providing food or drink at this party, but they also did not specify anywhere that it was a potluck. They said offering the space and hosting was their contribution to the party, so it was on the guests to bring their own. I asked the judge to order this person to stop hosting parties unless they are willing to provide for the guests. Merely inviting several people over to your home to enjoy your space with no food or drink cannot be defined as a party. Instead, it is some kind of sad, awkward social hellscape.
Well, Jane, I mean, what can I say? I can't order this person to stop hosting parties because, as you point out, they are not hosting parties.
Yeah.
They are leaving their door unlocked.
They're renting out a pop-up shop.
Yeah, exactly.
A pop-up venue.
Yeah, but you have to bring your own furnishing. I wonder if they have furniture there.
I don't think so.
Right. It's really just an empty event space.
It's an event space.
Gene, you know how to throw a dinner party, a wedding party, all kinds of parties.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jane's acquaintance, I mean, it doesn't even bear discussion almost.
This person is not wrong.
It's not right.
I have strong feelings about this.
Please.
So this person is wrong. Even when people are like, should I bring anything? I'm always like, not really. Mm-hmm. Unless there's some sort of, I don't know, we're having like a long thing. And I'm like, I don't know, bring more wines. Like, that's always nice.
Right.
But I think that they're terribly wrong for doing this. But you can't tell anyone else what to do in their home. So I'm like, how about you just don't go?
Oh, you're saying it's on Jane.
It's on Jane.
Jane should be like,
well, then I don't want
to
go to that.
I'm not going to go to that thing. Right.
If you don't like what's on, then turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't go.
But we agree that Jane's acquaintance.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
It's
dumb.
Jane's acquaintance, if you're within the sound of my voice.
Yeah.
If you like Jane and you're inviting Jane over to your empty space for a classic awkward stand around. A classic awkward empty-handed stand around.
Mm-hmm.
Jane doesn't want to go to that. That's not gracious of you.
No.
What is the minimum that someone would have to offer? to a guest in order for it to be a party.
All the alcohol.
Drinks.
Yeah.
Or non-alcohol beverages.
Or just whatever, beverages.
It's a child's birthday party.
If it was a child's birthday party.
You have a...
No, you still have to have alcohol for the parents.
Right, for the parents. Yeah. I was just going to say, you have, you know, your...
You got to have moonshine.
Yeah.
You got to have Everclear.
Whoa.
You got a Goldschlager. 24 bottles of Goldschlager.
Are you
the
saying these because those are required for a child's birthday party, or it just falls under all the alcohol?
Yeah, like, just it's in there.
That's just okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
But one or the other, you got to provide one or the other. Unless they live in a mansion. What if their place is just amazing,
right?
And people just really like being there in that space.
Sure. I remember when I moved to New York in the early 90s, we all lived in little tiny pods, if that. I shared an apartment with my friend Adam Sachs. And it
sounds like a body snatching situation. You guys were in pods?
Well, I mean to say very small enclosed spaces.
Pods.
Pods. That's right.
So where's the real John Hodgman? this is the first time you're bringing this
still
up.
In Adam Sachs's basement.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but like Adam Sachs and I shared an apartment that was a basement apartment, and it was a one bedroom insofar as it was a tall room with a balcony, and that balcony was the bedroom.
Yeah.
And then
like
stairs,
a mezzanine.
Right, exactly. It wasn't a bedroom so much as a bed mezz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I had a bed in the living room, and he had a bed in the ostensible bedroom, but it was a panopticon. We could just see each other all the time. And so to be in a apartment, for example, that had real rooms was an incredible novelty for which we would pay almost any price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone was having a party in like their cousin's uncle's like loft or whatever. Yeah. I would go and I would not expect anything to be served there. But that was because we were in our 20s and we're stupid.
That's a young thing.
If you want to be a grown up and you invite people over, I don't care. You know what, Gene? Something. I don't care how great Rongo's space is here.
I was trying to offer something up. There's no way I would ever host anything at our apartment and not offer either food or beverages or both.
Right.
That's not...
As we know from Game of Thrones and the world of Westeros, you have to offer bread and salt. And once they accept it, then that is the pact that you're not going to kill them.
Yeah.
Unless it's the Red Wedding. Ooh. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to reassure your guests that you're not going to murder them by offering them bread and salt at the very least, and maybe a rosé. Or whatever.
Maybe a rosé.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice cheese with the,
bread. A cheese, I think, is necessary. I think you've got to have
and
a cheese.
And then once you're into the cheese, you're like, well, now I need kind of a, now I need a prosciutto, and now I need
a fig
jam.
What are you doing for your appetizer boards these days? Like, what do you put out for
friends? I'm going to do one for my friend tonight, but it also has to involve the fact that two of us are keto, so there are things that we have to rule out.
Explain to the people at home what keto is.
So it's high fat, low carb, no sugar.
Yeah, right.
So there's like a lot of dairy, a lot of meats.
Yeah, a lot of cheese.
So cheeses and meats are great.
Right.
But, you know, learning that there's like carbs in everything.
Yeah.
So there's certain kind of like I would normally put some sort of an almond or something on there. But
there's
we got to rule that out and go to like macadamia nuts now.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
You can't even have an almond?
You can have them. You just can't have as many almonds as I would have liked to eat.
Right.
And I'm going to miss out on like a jam, like a fig jam, unless I can find a good sugar-free substitute. And I did not make a fig jam. So we're doing blackberries, prosciutto, sort of other lovely cured meat, and a range of cheeses and macadamias. And for her, I need to get a good Asian pear. You know, it's good crunchy.
Have you ever had
sweet.
A custard apple?
A custard apple? No, but I'm really into, the pink lady apples?
Oh, sure, right.
Yeah.
And a Honeycrisp is a really nice
Honeycrisp are nice. Right. Lady Alice apples.
Is that a real one?
That's a real apple. This is a very good apple. Don't laugh at my apple suggestion.
Have you ever had a Queen Phoebe?
Write down apples for another podcast.
Just an apples podcast where we just list fictional
apples.
Yeah. Do you ever have a Jonathan Goldspur apple?
They were available on Food Kick, but only for like a week. They come in season. They're only there for a week.
You ever have a Gallo Double Thwap?
No.
No, they're good.
Yeah.
Jesse Thorne, you know, is always talking up the custard apple.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a fictional apple. Basically, he says it's an apple. The flesh is the texture of custard.
Sounds gross. That's like a flan apple. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Well, a flapple?
Yeah, flap. Yeah, it's disgusting. Mm. All right. So that's not on your book. Yeah. Some nuts, some cheeses.
Some nuts, some cheeses.
Some
a good
charcuterie.
Jam. It's about textures and bitterness and sweetness and,
right.
You know.
Hors d'oeuvres is the best meal.
It's very important. Oh, I do a great, I miss this. I've learned how to make keto soft pretzels. I started doing that.
How in the world?
It's a long process. It's not really a lot. There's a lot of almond flour and there's a lot of mozzarella cheese
involved. I don't know what
involved.
To believe anymore.
I'll make some for you. And okay. You could be like, this is trash. Or you will eat it.
You know, all right. So also the hors d'oeuvres podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
John and Jean eat hors d'oeuvres.
Olives. I
first course with Jean and John.
Yeah.
But I mean, the point is, hey, Jane's acquaintance, this is fun. Like, hosting a thing is fun.
It is.
You think about like, oh, you know what's good?
Yeah.
These olives. Oh, I had that thing. Someone at another party put out this kind of charcuterie or whatever, kind of salami or whatever.
Get some cotton candy grapes. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's fun to be generous.
It really is.
And being generous with an empty room that has no wine or cheese in it is not the same thing.
It's not.
So, yes. Two orders then.
Yeah.
Jane's acquaintance, stop doing what you're doing. You're wrong. Mm-hmm. Jane, boycott that empty room until this person gets it together.
Petition.
This is the sound of a gavel on that one.
That's
moving on.
Good.
Oh, it's my coffee. Thanks, Ivan. Ivan at Argo Studios has just brought me my coffee. And Jennifer Marmer, I order you to keep this in. Jesse Thorne's away. It's hot outside.
Going to drink some hot coffee.
All the rules.
I don't know how you're doing.
All
that.
The rules are broken. The night court, right? So it's crazy, Judge John Hodgman Night Court. All kinds of crazy characters wandering through. Ivan Argo Studios. We're having coffee. All the rules are
broken.
It's just a little different this time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's happening with Tom?
Tom.
Oh, yeah, Tom from Brooklyn, Maine.
Tom from Brooklyn, Maine. You're very familiar.
I am.
Do you know Tom?
I do know Tom.
Okay.
But I will not recuse myself.
All right. We'll get into it. All right. This is Tom's issue here. I had some beautiful coffee mugs made displaying the logo for Cafe Schmetterling, which is my imaginary establishment based on a hilarious and extremely memorable joke, I'm sure.
In Tom's opinion.
I'm sure. I give these mugs to friends, such a good idea, whom I like, and they are coveted by all.
In Tom's opinion.
Mm. The other day, a woman who I like, but is not a friend to whom I'd given a mug, asked what Cafe Schmetterling referred to. She bought one of the mugs at a recent moving sale run by a wedded pair of friends, who I am no longer certain I like. Beef! They had received the mug from my wife and me. I'm actually not surprised and somewhat amused by this.
So let me understand this.
Mm.
Tom makes these mugs that say Cafe Schmetterling.
Based on a joke.
And he gives them out
to people
that he likes.
Mm-hmm.
And someone he knew, to whom he had not given a mug, comes in and goes, "What's Cafe Schmetterling? I bought this at a yard sale." And he realized that someone he had given the mug to sold it.
I'm actually not surprised and somewhat amused by this, but others in our small town are offended on my behalf. Really, y'all?
Yeah.
Including my wife, who's also friends with the couple that sold the mug.
Yeah.
Should I continue? Marion
has a right to be upset with the creeps that sold Tom's mug.
Sure. Should I continue with this grievance? Should I celebrate their departure from our town and post sentries at the borders? Or should I simply bring them the same mug as a host and hostess gift the next time they invite us to dinner? Can I just start by answering that last question?
Of course you may.
No.
Yes.
Tom.
What?
They didn't want it. If I sell something and someone's like, oh, maybe it's like a sweater, and they're like, I haven't seen you wearing it, I'd be like, oh, I don't know what happened to it. And they're like, I'll just get you another one. I'd be like, no.
Well, let's say, for example, that I gave you a sweater.
Uh-huh.
I don't like.
All right.
I don't
change
like
it
this
from
way.
Sweater.
Let's make it some bad person.
Okay.
A bad person gives you a sweater.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, I don't like this sweater. And you immediately turn around and you donate to Goodwill or whatever.
Right.
And then that person sees someone walking around with the sweater.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, I noticed that you gave my sweater away.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, it just didn't fit. I'm sorry. I was too embarrassed to say anything.
No, see, that's not what I would do.
What would you do?
I'd be like, yeah, I hated it.
Oh!
I'm okay with confrontation.
What?
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm like, yo, that was like a terrible sweater. Did you not know that?
I really want to take you to task for that, but I'm afraid to. Yeah, but I'm saying it's not a gracious thing to then go and gift the same thing again to the person who got rid of it.
It's
revenge.
Funny.
It's revenge. Tom wants to torture these people.
I think.
Because I would have said, Tom, good solution. Send them a case of Der Schmetterling
mugs. I was about to
mugs.
Say, if he's going to do that, then he has to
go
make a bunch
way.
Of them.
Yeah. Oh, he's yeah. got, trust me, he's got a few.
There, I had a roommate.
Yeah.
And I was in a situation. I was selling the apartment that I was in, but kind of like in between because I was waiting on like. You know, for it to be sold. So I in the meantime, got a place with a roommate.
Yeah.
And there was some cheese in the fridge. Mm-hmm. Second time we're talking about cheese.
It won't be the last.
I had probably about two slices of cheese. Mm-hmm. And as a person who was like cleaning that apartment, it was filthy. I always stocked groceries, bathroom items, yeah. whatever.
Right.
She complained about the cheese, like went off on me about the cheese.
That you ate some of it?
That I ate some of it. And she was like, well, who's going to replace? I'm like, we live like above an organic debt. Just really?
Yeah.
It wasn't even great cheese. It just
you
was,
already said you ate two slices
it
of
was
it,
like
so
Monterey.
It was a pre-sliced cheese.
It was like Monterey Jack. So first off, mm-hmm. what are you talking about?
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay. I have a picture of this. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
I stocked the fridge with about 11 pounds of cheese.
Yes.
And she came back, like, she didn't reference it. And I was just like, how's it going? I was like, because I have to go out of town. I was like, do you want to do something where we host, like, a grilled cheese event? Or, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with all that cheese? So I understand. Like, but if you're going to do that, then, yeah, you're right. Go all out.
You're listening to Cheese Revenge with Gene and John, a new podcast spun off from the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Revenge.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, first of all, cheese can be both a tool of generosity and mm-hmm. vengeance. I think 11 pounds of cheese is good.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a critique.
Okay.
The only yes and I would offer to that is, like, get enough cheese so that nothing else can fit in the refrigerator.
I wanted to. They didn't have any more.
They didn't have enough cheese.
They didn't have any more. And then one of my next, I really started looking for a vending machine because I was going to put all of her items in it and make her
right.
pay for all her stuff to get it back. I was in a place. Don't two slices of cheese and now we're at war. Now it's war.
Well, I think we're going to take a break here.
Okay.
What are we saying to Tom? Tom doesn't care. Marion, his wife, is upset.
What's the joke?
We'll hear that after we come back from the break. Okay. That's called a tease.
Mm.
Teases and Cheeses with Gene and John, a new one-time-only podcast. When we come back, we'll tell Tom what he should do, and we'll hear the joke of Der Schmetterling. Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Aura Frames.
Hey, Mother's Day is coming up. Do you have a mom in your life that you'd like to celebrate? There are very few better ways than giving an Aura frame to someone you care about. These are beautifully Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos of your memories with your mom, stepmom, a mentor, friend, whatever it is in your life who might enjoy seeing photos from your life. Aura frames are the way to go.
Judge, there's a very special mom in my life, Ms. Teresa Thorne.
Yes.
That's my wife and also a whole human being in her own right. Guess what's on her bedside table? Yes, that's right. You guessed it in one, an Aura frame. What I love about the Aura frame is you don't have to load a bunch of stuff onto an SD card or whatever, like with the old digital frames. It is so easy to get the pictures on there. So like when Teresa texts me a cute picture of one of our children or our dog, or one of our siblings texts us a cute picture of one of them or one of their children, all I have to do is hit that share button on my phone and I can share it right to the frame and then it lives there for as long as I want. I can also take it off whenever I want, but I don't even have to open the Aura Frames app, which is a great app, but I don't even have to go there. It just goes straight into wherever I want it, whichever frame I want, or I have multiple Aura Frames in my house or all of them. It is incredibly easy. That's why Wirecutter chose it as the best digital photo frame. That's why it's one of Oprah's favorite things. It is guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AURAframes.com. Use the code Hodgman at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm still Jean Grey and he's still John Hodgman. And we're about to hear this joke, this schmetterling joke from Tom.
That's great.
Yep. Let's go.
A Spaniard, a Frenchman, and a German were arguing over whose language was most beautiful.
Can you just pause it
for
a second?
The Spaniard said,
yeah.
I just want to say that I always get really nervous when a joke starts like
that.
Of
course.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
Whew.
Absolutely.
All right.
Tom likes to destabilize you.
All right.
The Spaniard said, take our word for it. Butterfly, there's no more beautiful word than mariposa. And the Frenchman said, au contraire, papillon is a far more beautiful word for butterfly. And the German says, was ist wrong mit Schmetterling?
End of joke. Did you catch it? A Frenchman, a German, and a Spaniard are having an argument over who has the most beautiful language. The Spanish guy says, our language is the most beautiful because listen to our word for butterfly, mariposa. And the French person says, no, our language is the most beautiful, papillon. And the German says, what is wrong with der Schmetterling? Come on, Jean, come on. It's adorable.
I feel like it's more of a comment about how language sounds than a hilarious. I just want to mention that the logo for Cafe Schmetterling, which is my imaginary establishment based on a hilarious and extremely memorable joke.
Yeah.
A joke.
Tom is dedicated to these kinds of jokes. He is.
He is
the ultimate dad joker.
Yeah, yeah. That's good that you brought that up.
I know him from the time I spend in Brooklyn, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
He's a professional person in the insurance field of some kind. A grown up with a lovely wife and a grown daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And every Sunday morning, he makes breakfast sandwiches at the general store. And from time to time, I go in and make breakfast sandwiches with him, and I hear the jokes.
Yeah.
Tom also has a sailboat that's in the harbor. It's moored in the harbor in the summer.
Is the sailboat called
Der Schmetterling? No, the sailboat, it's written on the side. It's called After You. That way, like, you can say, Hey, Tom, I like your sailboat.
Hey, Tom, I like your sailboat.
Oh, thank you. You know, I named it after you.
Yeah. Tom. I feel like I've seen this boat because I know I've heard the joke.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, when you were in Brooklyn last summer.
Yeah, because I remember that.
Yeah.
Now that is a memorable joke.
Tom is also assistant chief of the volunteer fire department there.
No, listen. I'm not saying that Tom isn't a great guy. And I feel
but weirdly, you're writing it down on a pad right now. I don't understand.
And I'm drawing a picture, too.
Look, we have to entertain ourselves as best we can up there in Maine.
I get it, man.
He makes these Cafe Schmetterling mugs. He gave one to a friend. The friend promptly sold it at a yard sale. He wants justice by sending them one of these mugs again. But we think he should send a case of mugs to them, right?
A case.
And how many mugs
24.
Are in a case? 24 mugs. Mm-hmm. You know what that's called, Tom? A punchline. There's the sound of a gavel on that. I love you, Tom. Do we have something from Jason?
We do have something from Jason, and I'm really glad that you brought up dad jokes, because it's a great segue into this. Jason says, I drive my son to and fro, It doesn't say to and fro, but I wanted to say that.
Oh.
To and from his school every morning and afternoon. We generally listen to news in the morning and music or the Judge John Hodgman podcast on the way home in the afternoon. Inspired by something on a podcast or by the music, I will often tell Spurious. Really?
Spurious.
Okay. Can you look that?
Yeah, I'll look it
up. Can you look that up? Yeah. I'll keep going. Spurious jokes or suddenly burst out in song. My son rolls his one eye and asks me to please stop. Just stop. My son has requested that while you impose an injunction on dad jokes while driving to and from school, while I maintain that these dad jokes are an important and even vital part of his education. Please help, in caps.
So first of all,
Spurious
means not being what it purports to be.
Well, these are interesting dad jokes. I wish they were an example. I want to know.
Of a joke that purports to be memorable and generally accepted as hilarious, but is not quite that?
Yeah, and that his son is like, maybe he's like, please stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dad jokes are a hard thing.
Yeah.
Because a true dad joke, the dad doesn't know that it's a dad joke.
No.
You know,
they're not aware.
You know my famous story.
Yes. I do.
When I went into the coffee shop and the young woman was wearing overalls.
That's how I died?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it.
And I said, you deserve... I know I've said it on the podcast before, but maybe we have some new listeners. It happens. By accident. I said, you deserve an award in the category of overall excellence.
That's good.
And she said, nice dad joke. And I don't think I've been the same since. I didn't die exactly.
Oh.
But I don't think, like, I hear my jokes now and I'm like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's awful.
I have a husband.
Oh.
Thanks to me. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. It's my pleasure.
Who is a young old man.
Yeah.
And really loves dad jokes and puns. And I don't know how this happened.
That comes to mind?
No, because it's just an ongoing onslaught. Of dad jokes. He's not a dad. I don't know why.
Can we get Quelle on the phone?
We could try. Yeah.
I want to tell him this Schmetterling joke and see what he thinks.
Okay. Yeah. And he'll buy joke books from like dollar stores.
Yeah.
And he's like, these are hilarious. I'm like, what is wrong? Like, I feel like your sense of humor is so great. And he's very like quick and witty with puns and... So I've learned to have an appreciation for them. But, like, I think that overall joke is a great joke.
Hello?
Hey, Quelle, it's John Hodgman.
Who is John Hodgman?
I'm the host of a fairly popular podcast called the Judge John Hodgman Podcast. I'm here with Gene Gray.
Oh, wow. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm perfect.
Listen, we're just talking about dad jokes here.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene was saying that you like them, and I do too. And I wanted to tell you a joke, and I want you to tell me what you think of it.
I'm almost 100% going to love it, but go ahead and give it some.
All right. So don't get nervous that it starts this way. A German and a Spanish person and a French person are hanging around, and they get into an argument over who has the more beautiful language. And the Spanish person says, well, you know, we have the most beautiful language. Just consider our word for butterfly. It's mariposa. And the French person said, well, that's a beautiful word, but au contraire, we have the most beautiful language. Our word for butterfly is papillon, and it does not get more beautiful than that. And then the German person goes, I don't understand what is wrong with der Schmetterling.
Jesus.
Yeah,
that's a great joke. Yeah, thanks,
Quilly. Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye.
No, wait, Quilly, since we have you on the podcast. A, how have you been? And B, what do you have coming up in late September, early October that you might want to tell our listeners about?
I've been fancy. Should be more another performance within the New York City limits with me and my band, Awesome Outer Space, and a new animated video for an artist named Nick Davio that should be hitting the streets.
And where can we keep up with all the news, the Quelle Chris news?
On the Googles and the social medias.
All right.
Yeah, that was a good joke. It's one that doesn't hold as much power without delivery.
Yeah.
So it does take a certain amount of like special dad powers. You know what I mean? It's not an average dad can do that joke. It does take someone with a little bit of.
I do appreciate that, because this is, I think, the ninth time I've tried to get Gene to laugh at the joke, and I've refined it. I think to as good as I'm going to be able to tell it. All right.
Takes a professional dad. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Quelle, Chris, thank you very much for answering the phone.
All right. Take care, strangers.
Okay. Right. I love you. Bye.
Bye. I also love you. Bye.
Love you.
Okay.
Nice guy that you married.
Because you really liked the joke?
Well, I liked him before then anyway.
Well, you know, he's amazing.
Right.
But I also want to say that your delivery of that joke was very different than the way Tom told
it. Yeah,
the joke.
But you know, I laughed really at it. When I was in the kitchen making breakfast sandwiches with Tom, I laughed at it.
How hard did he hit the Der Schmetterling?
Did he do the accent?
Because you got to really...
I think, you know what, I think, you know, he was reading it into his voice memos today at my request. I'm going to say that was not the best delivery I've heard from Tom. If you were in the room,
because
Tom has a sort of sleepy confidence that plays better in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what?
That's a good Tinder bio.
You're listening to Good Bios with Gene and John.
That's a great one. Oh, my God.
I have a sleepy confidence when I'm in the room.
Yeah.
Also, you and Quelle have your album "Everything's Fine" still available out there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can buy it.
Incredible, incredible album that I would say even if I didn't have a small little cameo on it.
Yeah,
yeah. And on the next album, I hope you will remix my rendition of "Der Schmetterling" joke.
It's the whole album.
Good. Yeah. What were you going to tell this dad whose son wants an injunction against dad jokes? Is that fair?
No, it's not fair. You can't stop dad jokes. It's part of being a dad. And it's part of being a kid to have to listen to dad jokes and then formulate your own in the future. It is part of your vital education.
I will say that a woman that I knew in high school, Valerie, was being picked up from work at the movie theater where we both worked.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to her dad, who was picking her up, hang on a second, Dad. I got to go across the street to the bookstore and get a book. He said, why? You already have one.
Oh.
And I still think of that joke.
That's good.
And I heard that in my teen formative years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely corny, but very off the cuff.
Yeah.
And I've never stopped thinking about it.
You got to be quick.
Jason's son, you know, just because I, on this podcast, have prohibited certain dads from making certain dad jokes, it is not because the jokes themselves are corny, i.e. I'll have the Kung Pao chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that dad was asking for the Kung Pao chicken in any retail circumstance, including toll booths.
That's funny.
Yeah, but when he was doing it at non-Chinese restaurants, mm-hmm. he was just confusing the servers.
Don't do that at a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. Felt they had to laugh. Mm. The only captive audiences mm-hmm. that dad jokes can take advantage of are children in the car.
Yeah.
That is your job as a child to endure that. I find in favor of Jason. Sorry, Jason's son. That's the sound of a gavel.
Well, we are still clearing the docket. There's still some clearing to do. We're going to move on to something that has nothing to do with spurious jokes or dad jokes or jokes. Hannah says, 8 years ago, I was gifted a cat by a now ex-boyfriend. At the time, I was reading The Count of Monte Cristo. It's one of my favorites. So I named her Mercedes. From the time I...
You know what? Spanish really is the most... beautiful language.
Mercedes. From the time my husband Nick met her 5 years ago, he refuses to call her by her real name. He refers to her as Professor Catface Meowmers, which was based off of a spoof of Harry Potter called Wizard People, Dear Reader. When people come to our home and ask our cat's name, I always tell them it is Mercedes. But Nick always tells everyone her name is The Face, which is a nickname from an already fake name. I think he should tell people her real name, but he doesn't like the real name because it reminds him of the fact that I had another boyfriend before him. Mm. Escándalos.
Okay. There's a lot of levels that I need to unpack here. Mm. First of all, Count of Monte Cristo. Mm-hmm. Is that a favorite tale of yours?
Let me tell you why. Actually goes back to the cheese.
Okay.
You're
listening to Bringing It Back Around. A podcast of only callbacks. Not so much a call-in show, but a callback show.
The Count of Monte Cristo taught me about being patient about revenge.
Uh-huh.
And it really, in my 20s, which is some of my best revenges, let me know that it's cool to wait it out. It's going to be so much better. Vengeance can wait. Like, you know. I'm good at...
Vengeance Can Wait, a new podcast.
Vengeance Can Wait.
Yeah. And Mercedes, of course, is Mercedes, which mm-hmm. is a character from mm-hmm. Count of Monte Cristo. We're also buzz marketing some weird 14-year-old spoof of Harry Potter called Wizard People, Dear Readers, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I hope it's great. Mm-hmm. Professor Catface Meowmers. That's a kind of a dad joke there.
I dig it.
You like that?
I dig it.
Which is a better name for a cat? Professor Catface Meowmers or Mercedes?
Professor Catface Meowmers, but I like that he has shortened it now to The Face.
The Face.
Which is an amazing name.
Professor Face.
Professor Face.
Would be good too.
Just The Face is a good, like, villain name.
It is a very good name for a cat. Mm-hmm. But does he have the right to ignore the name that the cat already has?
I think there's a lot of things going on here.
Right.
I think this is mostly, relationships and past and knowing like when to let go and what you need to accept, like that people had lives before you guys were in a relationship.
Oh, claro que sí.
And maybe that needs to be discussed before the cat's name isn't the issue.
I mean, you know, normally we hunt around here on the Judge John Hodgman podcast for like the crux mm-hmm, of the dispute, mm-hmm. the underlying emotional element. But it seems to me Hannah already knows it.
Yeah.
She says he doesn't like the name because it reminds him of the fact that she had another boyfriend before him.
Yeah.
And that makes The Face kind of an act of aggro that I do not like, presuming that she's correct.
Yeah.
And I bet she is. I find that to be a little bit aggro and insecure and unattractive.
Yeah. It's just the name of the cat. It's okay. Our cat's whole name, which Quelle refuses to use,
right,
is Brian K. Littles Esquire the Third. And he refuses to call him Brian. I only call him Brian when I want to annoy Quelle.
Oh.
But his name is Littles.
Right.
And he's
what
like,
what does the K stand for?
Keith. Brian Keith Littles Esquire the Third.
But who had Brian Keith Littles Esquire the Third? You adopted him together, right?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes, and he immediately was Littles. And then I was like, this is his longer name, his longer form name, but we'll never use it. And because he doesn't like calling him Brian, I'm like, he's like, yeah, just, it's a weird, like, very human name.
Right.
And I don't feel like yelling at like another dude in the house.
Right.
It just feels weird.
Yeah. Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I get it.
I think that this dude should not be renaming the pet in any case, because the cat has a name, and that name was given to it by Hannah's ex-boyfriend. Or her, or mm-hmm. Hannah, but like just the fact that it was given by...
The cat already has a name.
The cat has a name.
Just you giving it a name doesn't erase the relationships of her past.
Yeah. Humans have pasts, mm-hmm. and that's fine.
You don't
need to be nervous about that.
Yeah. She's with you.
That's right.
She's with you. Like, things move on.
That's right.
When
you say Mercedes,
Mercedes,
it reminded me that I recently drove from Maine... through Massachusetts, Western Massachusetts.
To Barcelona?
No, but there is a great town name in central Western Massachusetts, mm-hmm. which is, it is spelled A-T-H-O-L. That's right. Athol, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts?
Actually, I'm from Athol, Massachusetts.
Wow. Yeah. It's not Athol?
No, Athol. And it's guess what the neighboring town is?
No.
Belchertown. Good going. But it's still not the weirdest name of a town in Massachusetts. The weirdest name of the town in Massachusetts, aside from Braintree, which is gross.
That's not okay.
Bill Ricca.
Is it named after the famous?
There's no
comedian,
William Ricca. Bill Ricca.
Bill Ricca.
By the way, a stand-up. That's Bill Ricca for you. That guy mm-hmm. doesn't mm-hmm. even need material.
No.
No, it's B-I-L-L-E-R-I-C-A. Bill Ricca, that's the name.
Don't know what it is. Some sort of
Probably a native weed.
Okay.
Bill Ricca plant.
Bill Ricca. It also sounds like a character on True Blood.
Yeah, that is. Here's my ruling in any case. Hannah, you're right. Nick is wrong. Maybe break up with him. I'm going to look up Bill Ricca while we take a break. Mm-hmm. Gene? Send us out.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more docket to clear.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to... oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Welcome back to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. This week, we are clearing the docket. And I'm going to start with something from Dan. Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Dan says, my wife refuses to close the door when she uses the bathroom. We have two bathrooms, with one on each floor of our home. The style of our home includes large windows, and I feel anyone could easily see her from the street when she uses our first floor bathroom. To be specific, we live in a little city in rural Illinois called Quincy. I am an associate pastor, and my wife is a doctor. I worry her flagrant disregard for her privacy will undermine our professional lives, especially given the close-knit nature of our town. Also, I think it's gross that she does the nasties with the door open. I would like an injunction that she close the door and grody time, because no one wants to see that. Agreed.
Close the door when you're using the bathroom.
Close the door.
All right. Here, listen. Bill Ricca is named after a town in Essex, England called Billa Ricca. And the best guesses for the origin of the name, that Billa Ricca either comes a corruption of Villa Erica.
Yeah.
Of a Romano-British origin. So like Villa Erica.
Villa Erica. Villa the House Erica. Of Erica.
Villa Erica. Or Bella Rica, a medieval Latin word meaning dye house or tan house. Or Billers, traditional name for watercress. Told you it was a weed.
It's watercress.
Watercress, for
Here's
sure.
something from Bryce. He loves watercress. He asks, what is Hodgman's Hogwarts house? I think Ravenclaw, but my friend says none because Harry Potter is not real.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I'm not a Harry Potter so much as I am a Wizard People Dear Readers guy, whatever that is. Now, here are the, all right, so here are the four houses.
Mm-hmm.
Ravenclaw.
Mm-hmm.
Gryffindor.
Mm-hmm.
Honeycrisp.
Fructis.
And Swantop. You ever have a Slytherin apple?
Yeah.
Sweet green apples. Yeah. I'm not Slytherin because I'm not emo enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Gryffindor because I don't have self-confidence and belief that everything's going to work out okay for me no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm not Hufflepuff because I don't want to be a Hufflepuff. That was
one. What's the name?
You know, I love those books. Mm-hmm. I love that mythology. That was one where I kind of feel like she could have taken another pass at that name.
Yeah.
It's a little silly.
Yeah.
A little goofy. I love you, J.K. Rowling. Thanks for following me on Twitter. It's true.
Does she?
She does, yeah.
You don't follow me on Twitter.
What? That's not true.
I love her. Oh,
you're talking to
her?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should follow Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And take another stab at Hufflepuff.
I think it's just great.
Oh, okay. I would say Ravenclaw. Sure. I'm Ravenclaw. Because like a raven...
Oh, boy.
Like a raven, I'm smart. I know how to use tools like ravens do. Corvids know how to use. They'll make a tool out of a piece of wire to pull something out of something that they need.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah. And like, you know, ravens and crows and rooks and so on,
mm-hmm.
they recognize human faces.
They recognize faces. They have funerals.
Yeah. And they hold grudges.
They do.
Speaking of revenge.
They do.
Think about waiting it. You know what I hear? When they find a human they don't like,
mm-hmm.
not only will they attack that human, they'll train their children to attack that human. Generational grudges.
I feel like I would also be Ravenclaw then.
That's right.
Okay. Is that it? Did we do it?
We did it. We cleared the docket.
We cleared the docket. The docket is clear. And I think that's it.
And we talked about cheese. We debuted a whole bunch of new podcasts.
Yeah.
You're going to be with me on a regular podcast coming right up.
On a reg ep.
In a future episode.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, let me just say how much fun it is to hang around with you, as always.
I had so much fun. So that's going to be it for another episode of Judge John Hodgman. The show was recorded by Ivan Kuriev. Great name. At Argo Studios in New York City, our producer is Jennifer Marmer. Follow us on Twitter at Gene Creasy and at John Hodgman. We are at Instagram at Judge John Hodgman. Make sure to hashtag your Judge John Hodgman tweets, hashtag JJHO, and check out the Maximum Fun subreddit to discuss this episode. Only upvotes. Submit your cases at MaximumFun.org/JJHO or email Hodgman at MaximumFun.org. We'll see you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Please don't sue us, Night Court.
Please.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.